This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel real old. Feel even older talking to Daryl Ryder. He'll put ages on you. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Daryl's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I want to play some Joel Batonio audio for you, and then Lima has a very pointed question. Here is Joel Batonio about the offense, if I'm not mistaken. This is the clip you want to hit? Yeah, okay. This is Joel Batonio on the offense yesterday. Hit it.
No, at least the way they tell us the plays, like, they're all the same plays. It might have been a different order than, you know, but it's like they've talked about, it's a collaborative effort. All the play calls and all the names and everything we kind of do is all pretty much the same. It's just how he wants to call it. But it, for us linemen, like, we don't really, can't really tell the difference.
So Joel was asked a question, were the plays different? And Lima would like to ask you a question, Daryl.
Yeah, does it sound like he's throwing Deshaun Watson under the bus there?
I don't know if he's throwing Deshaun under the bus, just answering a question. I mean, it's the same offense.
Indirectly so,
trying to start something there, Lima?
Yeah, I am.
I think Deshaun Watson threw himself under the bus.
Whoa!
Daryl!
Hard thing to do!
On a Friday!
Hard thing to do!
You asked.
It's going to be one of those interviews. Okay. Tone, take it away.
Did you get a bunch of trick-or-treaters yesterday, Daryl?
Wait a minute. You can't go from that to trick-or-treat. We're done. Go ahead.
Well, I'm worried if they're walking all over his brand-new lawn.
I'll put him in a bad mood.
Lima's playing the trick-or-treat thing this morning. You're a day late, Lima. Halloween was yesterday.
I know, Daryl. I just want to know if it was
welcoming... We're on to the depressing time of year where you change your clocks back and it's going to be dark for eternity.
What's the... that's Saturday night. What's the one that's safer for everybody that we should just leave on? Is it this time or is it the other time? Because one of them we just got to keep and stay with it. But some people are saying, like, speaking of buses, like, it's better for buses if it's this time, the kids and everything. I want to know which one's a safe one, and then we can just stick with that one.
Well, I don't know.
I'm done with this time change stuff.
Well, if you leave the summer thing, if we stay on this, the sun will come up, like, at 9 a.m. If you leave the fall back... Then the sun's coming up at 4 a.m. in the summer. So I don't know which one's...
I'm fine with that.
I don't know which one's better.
I'm fine with 4 a.m. sun. That's fine. I don't care. Go ahead.
Daryl, you said it's kind of that gloomy, depressing time of the year. But is it when Jameis Winston is your quarterback and he's throwing for three Bills and lighting up the scoreboard?
Well, it's certainly going to be entertaining, right? I mean, the Jameis Winston experience is that he's going to probably throw as many interceptions as touchdowns. Let's be honest about it. First of all, give him his credit. You know, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Yet another Browns quarterback not named Deshaun Watson capable of throwing for 300 yards in a game. But at the same time, he probably should have thrown two or three picks if the Ravens' secondary could catch footballs. Conversely, if the Browns' secondary could catch footballs, they would have had a few picks on Sunday as well. So I think that this offense is just going to be more watchable than it was the first 7 weeks of the season. I don't know that they're going to resurrect their season and get themselves back to using the P word in about a month or so, but I feel like the product on the field will at least look competent and will be watchable and entertaining for fans.
Is this game on Sunday, Is winning this game the difference between trades or no trades by Tuesday afternoon?
Well, the NFL trade deadline is not like Major League Baseball in the NBA, where there's usually a flurry of activity. Now, in recent years, there have absolutely been more trades than in the NFL than we're accustomed to seeing. I do think that the outcome Sunday will inform Andrew Berry's decision-making processes about moving guys. You know, Za'Darius Smith has been the name that's been hot on the rumor mill. I don't understand why people want to try and have a conversation about trading Myles Garrett. Clearly, they have not paid attention to what the Cleveland Browns do with first-round picks, and you're not finding another Myles Garrett in the draft with first-round picks. That's not usually what this franchise does with those selections, so don't move that guy. It's, for me, it's not even worth the discussion, no matter how many would be involved. But you know, the guys that are on those expiring contracts, Elijah Moore, right? His contract expires, at the end of this season. Greg Newsome had his fifth-year option picked up. Talked to him about trades earlier this week, and he said he's not really worried about it, and he really feels like he's built a home here and established enough relationships within the building that they understand his value. And with Denzel Ward's situation being what it is, I don't know that that would be a smart trade to make. So I can see a trade or two. I just don't know, win or lose, that all of a sudden Andrew Berry's going to like break off five or six trades before the deadline. Because, again, that's just not how the NFL operates.
Dale Ryder giving us his Cleveland Browns perspective. Offensive line was the best they've been by far all year in protecting the quarterback last week. Do you think that's something they can maybe hang their hats on from here on out?
Well, I mean, look, it helps when the quarterback isn't bailing out of the pocket as soon as he gets the football. I think Jameis Winston did a nice job. He was under pressure Sunday, but he did a nice job stepping through and stepping around it. And still delivering the football down the field. We'll see what Joel Bitonio, how the foot is feeling. I am assuming, because this is just how little inside football for folks, usually if a player talks during the week, even if they're dealing with an injury, that's a signal that they are going to play, even if they're listed as questionable, which there's a chance. We'll find out today what designation they give Bitonio there, and I know he kind of hedged it a little bit and said, well, we'll see how the foot is, and we're working on some things and things like that. But I anticipate that Joel Bitonio is going to play. I thought DeJuan Jones was outstanding last week. Night and day improvement from the first 5 weeks we saw him playing right tackle. So maybe the 2 weeks off not being on the field, maybe that did him a little bit of a good from a physical standpoint, from a health standpoint. And I want to see some more of him. I'm in no hurry, even though Jed Wills returned to practice yesterday. I'm in no hurry to watch 71 anytime soon.
Oh, so you think that that's done?
I don't think it's done. I'm just saying my personal opinion is that I would stick with DeJuan for now.
What about a right tackle for Jed Wills? You know, Jack Conklin did a great job, but I don't know if that's going to be sustainable for a long time. I mean, he has a significant injury history.
Yeah, he does have an injury history, and for me, you ride it as long as you can. You know, right now he's healthy, so you stick with that, and you ride. For me, ride this starting five that they put on the field last weekend as long as possible. Yes, injuries are going to pop up, and you're going to have to make adjustments. I get it, but I would try and ride this starting five as long as possible. We saw Ethan Posick pop up on the injury report yesterday as limited. So, again, we'll see if they're even allowed to do that this week with when it comes to guys being available. But if they can, I'm in favor. I really liked what I saw from those guys against the Ravens.
Well, with DeJuan Jones, I mean, he has been not adamant, but I asked him the question point blank, and he said it point blank that he wasn't comfortable at left tackle, that he didn't want to play left tackle. Now, he was called into duty here. Is this something, Daryl, where you think maybe fate has intervened? Do you believe that he should just be the left tackle moving forward? Is it too soon? Do you maybe prognosticate him by 2025? It's just like, hey, you know what? You're a good left tackle. You got to stay a left tackle.
They need a left tackle next year. And,
yes.
I mean, where they're at right now, for me, they're in evaluation mode. It's, you know, everybody's playing for jobs type of a thing from now until the end of the season. That's just how I view it. If they rip off four more wins in a row and sweep the month of November, get themselves back to 500, as I said on the podcast this week with Andy Baskin, hey, then we can revisit the bigger picture conversation there about maybe playing some games in January. But for now, they're out of it. You know, so I think it is about evaluation, and I see no issue, again, based on how he played last week, Ken, with evaluating him at left tackle. And, yeah, he might have told you that he's not comfortable doing that.
You're saying he's lying to me?
I'm not saying he's lying to you, but I'm saying that maybe the more experience he gets with that, maybe he does become comfortable at left tackle and is fine with it. But they're going to need a left tackle next year because it's not going to be Jed Wills, or at least it shouldn't be.
That's a good point.
Daryl Ryder joining us here, brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Can we trust Kevin Stefanski that Jameis Winston, if healthy, is the starter for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, then why could we trust him that Deshaun Watson was the starter they gave him the best chance to win earlier this year?
Well,
who's making the call? That's where I'm leading this to.
Well, I think it's a collective call, just like it was a collective decision to bring him to Cleveland. And in some cases, it's great that they collaborate and, you know, talk things through. And then also in some respects, it's not great that they collaborate and talk things through with ownership. But, people are really trying to cling to the, you know, Kevin saying, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the quote right in front of me. He basically said that's the plan, that Jameis is going to be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season, but we know that this is the NFL and, you know, stuff happens. Kevin has had to coach 10 different quarterbacks since he's been here in 2020. So, yeah, you know, he's just given it the out that if obviously Jameis gets hurt, that he's going to have to make a change. I thought you said that Jameis was going to be the quarterback for the rest of the year. You liar. So that, you know, because, you know, there's some people that would say that.
Over injury?
Yeah.
That's silly. I will tell them that's silly.
You know, fans can be silly sometimes. Well,
they're
sometimes folks in the media can be silly.
I'm a silly person.
Well, we know that about you.
Yes, I am.
That's why we love you.
Go ahead. Sorry, Daryl. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Tone wants to ask.
Daryl, is there a record this year where you think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski should feel safe? Is there a win total they need to get to feel safe?
I don't know if it's a win total. I think it's how the product looks on the field. If they were still on the same trajectory as the first 7 weeks, I would say jobs would be in jeopardy. But I kind of feel like last week breathed some new life into the team and into the organization here. And I'm actually intrigued now. I'm actually interested in watching the next couple of weeks and watching Sunday's game and, you know, coming out of the bye, starting with the Saints and going through the end of the season here, just to see what this thing looks like. Because I don't know, maybe we'll get an idea of what the Ken Dorsey offense was really supposed to look like. You know, Jameis is more of a stay-in-the-pocket guy than Deshaun is, but the results are kind of undeniable, right? I mean, season highs in points, season highs in yardage, season highs in passing yardage, right? I mean, the offense looked competent all of a sudden. The offensive line, which I was very critical of the first 7 weeks of the season, and at least from my standpoint, I think fairly so, but like they looked competent last week. The receivers that the starting supporting cast isn't that good. I don't know. The receivers looked pretty good last week to me. They were catching some footballs. Cedric Tillman, who was basically persona non grata for the first seven games, 99 yards on 7 catches, 2 touchdowns. He's got teammates teasing him because he was 1 yard short of the coveted 100. So I am intrigued to see what this thing looks like on Sunday going against the Chargers team that, frankly, doesn't give up much, especially on the scoreboard. Just, you know, under 14 points per game they're allowing. So I'm anxious to see what Winston and company are able to do against that defense this weekend.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Final question for you, Daryl. The 92.3 The Fan Bowl is on Sunday. It's down at the Horseshoe, Ohio Stadium, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Owen Lotteman's 5th and 6th grade Avon Lake Shoreman will play against Coach TJ's Streetsboro Rockets at 5th and 6th. I am an assistant. I am not the head coach.
Okay.
Okay? But, you know, it's let's be honest. It's
I'm not
it's
the
Owen
head
versus,
coach either.
You're not?
No.
Oh, hell, I had no idea about that. All right. Well, I mean, it's let's be honest. It's Owen's boys against my boys. Who do you pick to win?
I'm going to go with your boys.
Whoa!
Wow, Daryl.
I thought for sure.
All right, Darryl,
I thought
down.
For
nice
sure he would pick Owens. I
Darryl,
guaranteed
you're not
Owen.
Invited back to the show ever again.
Daryl, I guaranteed him. I was like, oh, he's definitely going to pick you.
No, I'm going to go with the country boys, though.
What? Hey! Okay, that's fair.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying.
That's true. It's true. I mean, we do. I'm not gonna.
I mean, it takes a little luster off it. Neither one of you, the head coach.
Well, I want that responsibility, Daryl? No. Do I have time for that responsibility, Daryl?
Daryl, better watch your ass when you come to Lorain County. That's all I'm saying.
I couldn't even make practice on Tuesday. I backed into a hydrant. I'm not head coach material.
Wait, you what?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Oh yeah, backed into the hydrant at the end of my driveway earlier this week.
Oh, good grief! Did you knock it over?
No. It destroyed my bumper. I hit it in the perfect spot. I really did. If I was going to hit it anywhere, it's a good thing I hit it where I hit it, or I would have done a hell of a lot more damage, and the city would have been upset with me.
You know what? I might have to go with Owen, because he at least can drive a truck.
That's right.
Now, damn it, there was one mistake. I've made one, and it was a pretty big mistake.
Hey, listen.
As
you know, watching the Browns, it takes one mistake, Ken.
Oh, my God. That's true. One mistake can lose a ball game. One mistake can have an embarrassing failure on your bumper. Daryl, thank you for the time. I'll see you in hell.
Have a great weekend, guys. Enjoy the fan bowl in Columbus.
It's going to be awesome. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He's a good man and thorough. You asked this question earlier, because I want to bring Jameis Winston in, and then I got to bring in the whole conversation together here, Lyman, because Daryl reminded me of something. You mentioned Jameis Winston. Well, he doesn't move as much as what other quarterbacks do. We went from, there was a prototype quarterback, 6'2 and above, maybe 6'3 and above. Stand still, deliver, right? Protected by the pocket. Didn't need to run. You can, but we really don't want you to. Didn't need to be that guy. Are we trying to find another prototype quarterback, or we're trying to fit guys into something we're comfortable with? Because, man, you talk about Jameis Winston, a lot of people are like, and it's not just the talent. I mean, the talent's there. I know that there's been mishaps on the field, and that's why he's a backup quarterback now in his career, not a starting quarterback in his career. But, damn, we keep talking about, you know, Sam Darnold. Kirk Cousins is still sturdy and has been that way for a long time. But, like, if Kirk Cousins was coming out of the draft, he was a fourth-round pick then. Would he even be drafted now?
Yeah.
Like, man, like, there's so many of these guys. And I keep going to this year's coming draft, and, well, this guy does this and that, and he gets out and he extends plays and go, do you always want to extend a play?
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we extending a play because we're afraid to throw the football down the field? Like, I think we might be trying to find another prototype, which is probably not the right answer to do or right answer to have, because I know it feels like it's been 10 years where we've had these types of quarterbacks where guys could get out there and they had more athleticism than we give them credit for. Josh Allen, Mahomes, starting with Cam Newton back in the day. But, man, I still think it's an inexact science. And that I think it always has been. But I think if you're looking for a prototype, if you overcorrect the prototype, you ain't going to be in charge for very long.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting that the buzzwords or the phrase you keep hearing about quarterbacks right now is that there's no development. There's no development in the NFL. There's no development in college. I mean, I was talking to a college coach You know, over the last few months, I was talking to him about a transfer player, and that was in the MAC, who was at a Power 5 school. And a lot of them do. They go from Power 5 to the MAC to finish out their careers. And he's like, they're not developing kids in college anymore. And I'm like, okay, if they're not doing it in college, and now we're hearing they don't do it in the NFL, there's a reason why, as I look at the numbers right now, quarterback play in the NFL, I mean, the names are all over the board. Like, it's not down to what it was when I was younger, where it was the usual suspects every year for seven straight years.
We don't have time.
It's not happening.
We don't have time anymore. Like, it's become a four-letter word to say fourth year anymore when it comes to quarterbacks. Like, Cam Ward, I keep bringing him up because I'm like, yeah, he's played a lot of college football, and he's elevated all the programs that he's been on. Like, Shedeur Sanders has started and played a lot of college football, both at Jackson State and at Colorado. He has. He's elevated those programs there. Garrett Nussmeier, I keep bringing him up. Maybe going back for another year would be his best option. Maybe Drew Aller going back for another year would be his best option. But are we going to look at those guys and say they're damaged goods? And you ask the question of where...
Jaden Daniels had 55 games in college.
And how much did that help him? A ton. I think it helped him a ton. So you have these guys now that I think playing more college football helps, and they probably came out too soon because it's like, hey, my star is never going to be higher. My value is never going to be higher. Whatever the draft class is, no matter what, we'll get it figured out in the pros. Except the guys who get in charge, if I'm taken highly, they're not going to be in charge for very long. And we can't develop guys. Like Mac Jones, hey, I didn't think Mac Jones was that great coming out in college. Probably wasn't a good idea to make a defensive coordinator his offensive coordinator in his second year. That doesn't develop anybody. Putting Matt Patricia in as your offensive coordinator ain't going to develop him. That just raises a white flag, and it did it before you could even allow the seeds to germinate. Like you mentioned, where is this middle class of quarterbacks you saw before? I was surprised you mentioned Phillip Rivers. I thought Phillip Rivers during his, and I think I'm going to be the only one in this room who says this, I thought he had a quarterback play. He just happened to play in the same era as Tom Brady, the greatest of all time to do it. Josh Allen, to me, is an elite quarterback. He plays in the same generation as Patrick Mahomes, who may very well be the second best, or by the time it's all said and done, the best quarterback to do it. When I think of QB middle class, I think of guys like Stan Humphries, Chris Chandler. You go down the list of those type of guys. Even, and Steelers fans are going to want to drive here and fight me, not just for this comment I'm about to say, but all the other ones combined.
Brister?
I watched Neil O'Donnell play in a Super Bowl. I watched Neil O'Donnell have a long career where it's like, hey, he was really meh in a lot of ways, but it's like he did have a long career. Like those are the guys I think are like middle class.
But why
you don't
right
have that
now,
anymore?
Why right now is Joe Flacco a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Because he had a chance to develop and those skills stay with you. So you can push the ball down the field. Jameis has been in the league 10 years.
Right. And he was
had a chance to develop. These guys don't have chances.
And he had elite skills coming out of college, right?
Yeah.
But he's another one that is now going to possibly get a starting job here the rest of the year. You have all these guys. I mean, okay, one's been in the league. How long has Flacco been around now? It's been 15 years,
15
right?
15 years,
okay,
at least.
And you've got Jameis Winston who's been around. And I'll even throw in Geno Smith, okay, another one who...
He's had to have been in the league almost 10 years,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, easily. So when you throw all those guys that are still kind of hanging around the league, what does it tell me about the last decade of quarterbacks, the amount of first-round quarterbacks that have been drafted.
11 years for Geno.
Geno, 11 years. The amount of quarterbacks that have been drafted that are not starting. That's Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, and Geno Smith.
I think that because those guys, and then I bring in Sam Darnold again, drafted after him. Baker I want to put in there as well. I'm going to put Baker in that category as well. You know, they have chances to sit and knock around and kind of see what works and see what doesn't. You know, the pressure's off now. The pressure was off. I think the pressure was off Baker last year. I know that, well, he was a starting quarterback. Yeah, they didn't intend on actually finishing the year and thinking that they were going to keep him. The pressure was off. He had good coaching around him. I think that Dave Canales is in a terrible situation. And for all I know, might not be cut out to be a head coach, but is a good play caller and good enough to be a good quarterback or work with quarterbacks and do some good stuff there. I think that they're behind the eight ball just in general in Carolina. But
with Baker, like, you could work with him a little bit and calm some people down and then bring him back naturally. And we see what Baker's been able to do. They throw like crazy down in Tampa Bay, and he plays well. This is almost nitty-gritty football. I got to tell you, I know we're in the weeds a little bit here, but I think this is what gives me a little bit of hope with Jameis and then kind of cools my jets on the Ward, Sanders, Ewers, whatever discussion you want to have coming out of the draft. Because I got a guy with 10 years experience. I got a head coach that has done how many quarterbacks has he had now? 10? When Baker was healthy, Baker was good with him. Joe Flacco was good with him. Jameis Winston, it's been one game so far, so good.
Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett, they got the best out of him. They were 4-7 when Deshaun Watson took over, but they got the best out of Jacoby Brissett. Like, there might be a type that he has, but that type might be, hey, guys who can kind of spin it and stay in the game, stay in the league, and figure out a way to go. If a quarterback has played desperately, Baker was injured in 2021, played desperately. Deshaun Watson has played injured and has been a basket case, played desperately. And those guys have not been able to help themselves when they were underneath Kevin Stefanski. What about Jameis? Could he be able to carry that for a minute? Could he be able to go into next season if you wanted to do something like that? Like, I can't answer those questions yet, but you mentioned a middle class. That's what I think it's become. I think it's guys who were highly drafted players who ended up on their ass. We kind of forgot about, or we just thought were secondary players, and they find themselves in good situations where maybe there's not a lot of pressure, but they also have good coaching. I know that a lot of people don't like Kevin Stefanski. I still think he's good with quarterbacks. Kevin O'Connell's good with quarterbacks. The situation Tampa Bay is in with Baker Mayfield's a good situation. You can make these good situations here, and you're getting the best play out of all these guys. That, to me, is your middle class, Anthony. I think it's changed to there's a very small middle class, but, yeah, you have guys at the tippy top. You have a small middle class, and then you have guys who no one ever has faith in, and you're looking forward to the draft. That's where it is.
It's just fine. We're going to have another draft coming up where how many guys get taken in the first round. Everyone's telling us they're all going to get overdrafted, that they don't have the same grades the guys did last year even that were in that draft. And these guys are going to get drafted high, and how many years are they going to get? With Richardson getting benched as quickly as he did, you know, it just shows that these desperate teams, they are willing to put this in flux more now than ever before.
Go ahead. What do you got to say about Joe Burrow over there, bud? What do you got to say?
Well, because you were reading something about Joe Burrow.
That Keith sent us.
Yeah, refusing to get in love with Halloween, to dress up. He's just not about the holiday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at you guys because Kenny was way ahead. He's never liked Joe Burrow, ever.
Nope.
Never. Oh, I don't hate those words?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Here you go.
I'm not into celebrating something just to celebrate it, but like, what exactly? I don't know exactly what we're celebrating there. Just like dress up to dress up. I don't know.
So you're not a big dress up guy.
I'm not a big dress up guy. I've always been like anti dress code. Anti, like, if somebody tells me I got to wear something, I don't want to wear that. That's just always how I've been. I don't know. I guess I'm a contrarian sometimes.
But a lot of yucks for a 3-5 football team.
Here you go.
A lot of yucks.
I'd like to do a champion's pose on all you Ohio State fans who wanted to root for Cincinnati in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Just let me do it again. Do you still want to claim him? That's a guy who, I mean, the guy wore a fur coat in pregame here. I don't like to dress up.
I am falling out of love with Joe Burrow very quickly.
There you go.
I looked at Owen, and I'm like, is he even that good anymore?
Thank you.
He sucks now.
And Owen, he beat your team.
He beats my team all the time.
He beat your team twice.
Yeah, he did.
He lost this year, though. 7-0.
It just feels like the luster has worn off.
Macaulay Culkin went as him for Halloween, which was nice.
That was good, yeah.
And in return, all Joe Burrow does is say, I'm not really a big Halloween guy. I don't want to. I'm a contrarian. I don't want to dress up.
They got their asses kicked by Philadelphia.
Joe Burrow.
Hilarious.
Joe Burrow and Macaulay Culkin careers, same path, right?
Started out hot.
Very hot. Haven't heard from him in a while.
Nope.
Does he have a brother? Because Macaulay Culkin's brother has taken off.
Yeah. Is there another Burrow out there that's going to be then being better overall?
Well, there's five Burrows.
Apparently there are, yes. Apparently there are.
Mitch's sweatshirt has told us as such.
Yes, there are. Even though, no, it just listed four and didn't list the other borough. It just said New York. It had four boroughs, which isn't right, and then it just had New York.
Yeah. How much you spent on that thing? $70?
Like 22.
Okay, at least it was only 22.
But are we
$20 more than what you should
have
spent?
Now look, I know we're the Browns. I know we're struggling. I know we only have two wins, and we do not have our quarterback for the future.
Who feels better about their team right now? Today,
my quarterback was experienced in Swenson's for the first time. My quarterback comes up with great quotes all the time. My quarterback just won his game that he was not favored to win in. My quarterback just threw for 3 touchdowns. My quarterback right now.
Also,
I'm a lot happier with my quarterback. Yeah, my quarterback's the reigning offensive player
of the week. Also has a national championship.
My quarterback has a national championship as well. Looks like we're doing pretty well there, Bengal fan. Looks like we're doing okay. Maybe ease up on the criticism there, guys. It wouldn't kill you to do something for Halloween over there, Joe Burrow.
I'm just saying, Burrow, I thought, was going to be a dominant quarterback for over a decade. And what are we, 4 years into his career?
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't know if he can stay healthy. Nope. Is he fifth year? I don't even know if he can stay healthy. And the shine is worn off. Like, there is no gravitas there when I see Joe Burrow anymore.
Yep.
Maybe it's the rest of the team. Maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it's Zach Taylor. Maybe they get a new head coach that changes everything. I don't know. But right now, my feelings have changed.
Everybody's concerned about their own thing. They got the Super Bowl hangover without going to the Super Bowl recently. That's what they got. People are worried about
Everyone wants money.
They want their own, which is the natural order of things in professional football. It happens to every team, and they didn't get to celebrate in any of it. Good. Glad they didn't. Glad that the Rams beat them. Coming up at 9:45, coming in hot. Is Kenny Atkinson getting too much credit? Is a question that Anthony asked me.
Yeah.
I say no.
I ask because I've heard the station over the last few days, and the Cavs are off to this amazing start. They're putting up 130 points, drop of a hat. They rolled the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers wanted no part of that game about 12 minutes in.
Mm-mm.
They were done. It was clear to anybody there's not going to be a comeback. They could have had Bronny in there for the entire second half. With all that said, I kind of feel like the players aren't getting enough credit. I think the credit has all gone to the coach.
But who frees up the players?
And then it's been a Bickerstaff bash fest. And I did have to remind people.
I didn't bash Bickerstaff.
But I did have to remind people, you realize they went 17-1 during an 18-game stretch. Is this team going to do that? And they did it with guys being injured.
Well, they're already at 5-0. Maybe they'll get 12 more. Well, they got to lose one. So 12 out of the next 13. I don't know. Maybe they will. I think he deserves credit. I can't tell you, like, people bring up the sets. I think they're bringing up the sets just to say something's different. I agree with you about the sets. There's only so many sets that they're running, and I don't see anything. I think they are spread out a little bit more. I think they are trying to gun. I think the offensive pace is better. I will grant you that. I think Evan Mobley's better, but
they're pushing more.
But I do think you can give credit to the players if you wanted to, but Who trusts in them to be able to push the pace? It's Kenny Atkinson. I think I agree with the people giving Kenny Atkinson a bunch of credit right now.
I think he does deserve some credit for doing that. And I also think the Dean Wade in the starting lineup.
Makes you, what about remember, him? He's watched the minutes of... I don't want to run Donovan Mitchell into the ground, especially this early in the season.
Yeah, what
right?
makes
he's
you the arbiter?
5 minutes a game. Just huge.
Why do you get to decide how much credit he gets and how much credit he doesn't get? Like, the players are the players. They got to play it. But, I mean, he's done a fine job.
He's the only change from last year, though.
That's kind of the question. It's like, no, to me, one of the big changes is with Strus being out, Dean Wade, you have a 6'9 guy. You have a legitimate wing that is out there.
But Dean Wade was on the team last year.
Yeah, wasn't healthy.
Wasn't healthy, though.
That's part of it, too. Like, if you know J.B. Bickerstaff, because he's a chronic complainer.
So you're saying
he's going, where was my healthy Dean Wade?
Is the change in the roster?
Where was my healthy Ty Jerome? Wasn't even playing last year, and he has been enormous. He's been enormous.
Well, it depends on what he wants to do. If Max Strus comes back here in a few weeks, and they put Max Strus in there, I mean, maybe he deserves to play over Dean Wade. Maybe that's just the case. But if all of a sudden Max Strus comes back in there and he has those chucker nights, where there will be nights where you're just going to get a bunch of nasty tweets because he goes off for 25 and hits a bunch of threes, and that's the way it's going to go.
But once a month. He did that about once a month last year.
Plenty of nights where he goes out there.
By himself.
He did.
There's plenty of nights. Exactly. There's plenty of nights where he goes out there and he does not have the greatest performance ever. So maybe you end up being right about that.
I just mean.
But maybe Dean Wade plays his way into that role, and that's just it.
I just mean Garland. Garland's healthy. He's come into the season with confidence. Is that an Atkinson thing, or is it just a Garland is healthy and dedicated and had to hear trade rumors and has a chip on his shoulder?
Hasn't been punched in the face yet.
It
Yeah, we don't want him punched in the face.
Some guys, usually by this point in the season,
he's been punched in the face.
That certainly helps, but it can be made better with a guy like Kenny Atkinson.
And you've brought up a couple times, where's Isaac Okoro right now?
Well, he buried Isaac Okoro. This to me has been a great move.
Is it so because...
He's the reason.
Is it... Thank you. Is it because you thought maybe they would not be as serious in the regular season? Like, taking the regular season seriously, that's a J.B. Bickerstaff calling card.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, playing...
Oh, they're taking it seriously.
But, I mean, there's team... Like, the other night, like, the Lakers...
They were not taking it seriously.
5 minutes into the game, you could tell that they were like, tonight's not our night, and that's it. I mean, I shouldn't say all the Lakers. Anthony Davis showed everybody that he was just going to throw the brakes on and say, nope, we're not winning tonight. It's my call, and we're not going to do this.
Anthony Davis is like, who gets back on defense after a bitching about a call? Who wants to do that in October?
In October?
Did it twice.
This is October, and you're doing this? Yeah, he did it two times. I think he might have decided it, but... I think there's a lot of things that we mentioned, I think that you can give Kenny Atkinson a lot of credit for. I'm sure there's a little bit of rose-colored glasses. It's a honeymoon period. We can't keep our hands off each other. But I think that he's done some good things so far.
I just wonder, you know, both Garland and Jared Allen had to hear all offseason that they're not going to be a part of this. These guys have looked motivated.
They have.
They have looked totally different, and I want to give them the credit for that. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.